Welcome back to the Community Lincoln Square Podcast. The following message was recorded on Sunday, September 17th, 2017, at Community Lincoln Square. This week, Pastor Jesse Vaca is delivering the first message in our brand new series titled Simplify. Community Lincoln Square meets on Sundays at 9:30 and 11 a.m. at Gateway to Learning, 4925 North Lincoln Avenue in the Lincoln Square neighborhood of Chicago. We hope to see you there, and thank you for listening.
I'm sorry. All right, well, here's the thing. I want to start with a question for you guys this morning. How many of you have ever noticed that it seems like recently we've developed a new standard response for the very simple question of how are you? Right? Like it seems like not that long ago, whenever someone would ask, how are you? You'd say like, oh, I'm fine. Right? We're like, I'm good. Right? We'd get a lot of those kind of responses, but it seems like for some reason, these days there's a different default answer. And that answer is busy, right? Like every single time somebody asks you how you're doing, it seems like every one of us just answers with like, yeah, I'm really busy, right? Like that's what I got going on, I'm busy. In fact, I was looking through my text messages the other day when I was writing the message, and I saw three different conversations that I had started with people that don't live in Chicago, I don't talk to very often, and all of those conversations, they said, hey, how you doing? And my response, I'm really busy, right? Like it's just the new way that we talk about our lives. And the thing is, if you're really busy, like beyond ordinarily busy, your answer becomes like, well, I'm crazy busy, right? Because it seems like the word busy doesn't actually convey the idea that you're trying to get across anymore, right? Like you're trying to say, no, I'm crazy busy. That's way beyond just regular kind of busy. I recently ran across a book that's titled Crazy Busy. And I really like the subtitle of the book. It says it's a mercifully short book about a really big problem. You know, I thought about reading this book. I was looking at it at the bookstore. I thought, man, I'll pick it up and I'll read it. But, you know, I never did because I'm really busy. Exactly. Now, let me tell you something that's weird, something that's just kind of strange about this phenomenon of being busy. The thing is that secretly, deep down inside, being busy makes all of us feel really important, doesn't it? I mean, let's be honest, there's a strange sort of status that comes along with being busy. In fact, there was an article I read recently from The Atlantic that's titled, I'm So Busy, a Status Symbol for Our Time. And listen to what it says. It says, in a curious reversal, aspirational objects are not luxury goods like a nice watch or a new car, but instead bragging about how busy you are. Wanting to seem busy is how one gains status in a culture that values productivity and busyness above all else. So you see, listen to this, like just how weird this is. We've somehow began to believe that the busier we are, the more we matter. That's messed up, isn't it? I mean, at the same time that we crave the status that comes along with being busy, we also realize that busyness leaves us feeling like something's not right inside of our souls, like something's out of rhythm. And so we start to think to ourselves, could there possibly be a better way to live? Well, listen, I've got good news for all of us this morning. You see, I believe there is a better way to live. And in fact, I believe that God has a way to simplify our lives. And for that reason, we're starting a brand new series today, a 5-week series that we call Simplify. And I believe that this series is going to be one of those times that we can look back on in the years to come with tremendous gratitude. Because while many of us like the status of being able to say that we're busy, what we don't like are the feelings that come along with that busyness. We don't like all these feelings of being overwhelmed, exhausted, and dissatisfied with our lives. And the thing is, if we're honest with each other, when it comes down to it, so many times we blame those feelings on external factors. We say things like, oh, you know, I just live in such a fast pace of life, or the demands of my job are overwhelming, or there's these endless to-do lists at home. But you know, the question that we need to figure out this morning is, what if we discovered that the real problem is actually internal? What if we found out that the real problem, the real issue is a disoriented, dissatisfied, and distracted soul? You see, in that case, you and I, we would need to learn how to simplify our lives. You know, I think that we're going to discover throughout this series that simplified living requires more than just cleaning out our closets or organizing our calendars. Instead, simplified living's about understanding that God made each and every one of us as human beings, not human doings. You see, simplified living is about understanding that there's this rhythm in our lives that's been given to us by God. You see, our souls were meant to live and thrive in this rhythm of both doing and of being. See, there's a logic to things. And if we follow that logic the way that it was designed to work, then all of a sudden, life starts to work. Let me try to explain it to you like this. How many of you have ever seen this toy before? Raise your hands high. Yeah, okay, good. All right, well, so everybody here has seen this. All right, well, here's the deal. If you've seen this toy, what you know about it is that this one object has caused an incredible amount of stress in the lives of children for decades, right? I mean, how many of you have seen a child trying to master this toy, right? Like, I mean, this guy right here, like, let's check him out, trying to figure out this toy. It's pretty incredible. This is my favorite part. Check it out. He's done. He's done playing the game. So listen, here's the thing. What we need to understand is that this toy, it follows a very simple rhythm, a very simple logic. In case you don't know what that logic is, each shape, each peg is made in a geometric shape that's supposed to only fit in one spot on the toy, right? So like the square peg only goes in the square spot and the triangle peg only goes in the triangle spot. You know how this works, right? You're mostly grown-ups, right? So that's how it works. And in the same way that there's this logic and rhythm to this simple children's game, there's also a logic and rhythm to our lives. And the thing is that when I don't follow that logic and that rhythm, all of a sudden my life starts to feel off. And you know, the problem is that some of us are living our lives just like the kid in that video. Right, we know that something's wrong. We know that something's off. We know that something is missing, but we're just so frustrated at trying to figure out what it is that maybe we just take the lid off the game of life and we give up. Right? But what if we began to understand that there's a reason why our life feels that way? What if we began to understand that there's actually a simple way that our souls were meant to exist? You see, there's this logical God design and rhythm to things in our lives. And if we begin to follow that rhythm, life begins to work the way it was meant to work. Now, of all the people that Jesus interacted with in his 3-year ministry in the Bible, there's a scripture that records one person whom he engaged directly in this area of simplicity. It's a good friend of his named Martha. Now, Jesus had hundreds of followers, a lot of people that just kind of went everywhere that he went, but there were a handful of people that he actually brought close, that he kind of made part of his inner circle. And Martha and her siblings, Mary and Lazarus, they were part of this circle. You see, they were faithful friends of Jesus, and they lived in this little suburb just outside of Jerusalem called Bethany. And when Jesus would be traveling through the area, he would a lot of times stay at this house, and he valued their friendship. Now, one thing that we need to know about Jesus' life at this time is that he had a lot going on, right? Like the more he taught, the more people wanted from him, the more they wanted healings, the more they wanted miracles, the more they wanted everything that Jesus had to offer. You see, Jesus' life was becoming increasingly packed with stuff. I guess you could say that Jesus was crazy busy. So occasionally, whenever he was traveling through this area, he would stop at this house in Bethany for some serenity. Right? He would stop there so that he could wind down for a day or two, so he could refuel and recharge with some close and trusted friends. But listen how the Apostle Luke talks about this particular visit in his gospel. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman called Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what's better, and I will not take it away from her. Now listen, here's the thing. Is we can see the dynamics of this situation from a mile away, can't we? I mean, we can see what's happening here. We've got Mary and Martha who didn't actually know that Jesus was going to stop by, didn't have time to prepare the house. And so what happens is Mary just decides, you know what? I'm going to pull up a chair and hang out with Jesus for a while, right? It's almost like Mary's kind of sitting back in her chair going like, man, Jesus, I'm glad you stopped by. How's the road going? And the whole time, her sister Martha's in the other room just burying herself in all of her work, trying to get everything ready. She's frantically trying to play the role of accommodating hostess, making sure that Jesus and his disciples had everything that they needed. And the thing is, it starts to wear on her that Mary's just lounging in the other room with Jesus. Actually, she's taking a place at Jesus' feet that would have normally just been reserved for men. So not only is Mary refusing to work, but she's also challenging all the cultural stereotypes that existed in her day. Now finally, Martha's had enough, and she decides to go in and interrupt the conversation. But listen to what Martha does. You see, she doesn't address her sister. Instead, she addresses Jesus. She says, Lord, don't you even care? Don't you care that my sister's not helping me? Now, make sure you see the irony here because it's really thick. She says to the God of the universe, don't you even care? The one who left the awesomeness of heaven and put on human flesh. The one who's been out on the road healing and teaching and serving until he's absolutely exhausted. The one who's going to soon bleed and die for the redemption of the world. And yet Jesus doesn't push back, saying, how dare you talk to me this way? Instead, according to the text, he simply says her name twice. Martha, Martha. It's almost like Jesus is saying, just relax. And then, with genuine kindness, he makes a simple and profound observation. He says, you're worried and upset about so many things. You see, in this one instance, this one encounter, Jesus can tell that she's overwhelmed. She's overscheduled and exhausted. She is just too busy. So what does Jesus tell her to do? Well, you see, he asks her to slow down, to take a couple of deep breaths. And the thing that we have to get this morning, the amazing thing that we have to understand, is that Jesus asks each and every one of us to do the exact same thing. So many things are occupying your mind, he says. So many things are churning you up on the inside. So many things are stealing the joy from your life. So let me ask you, what's occupying your mind? What is it that's just churning you up on the inside? What's stealing the joy from your life? You see, I believe that we see here a picture of Jesus using this moment as just a teachable moment for every single person in the room. And the thing that I think is amazing is that Jesus is doing the exact same thing for us. See, he says to Martha, can I simplify something for you? Whenever I stop by, I'm not coming by for the food. I'm coming by for friendship, for connection, just to be with you. See, Jesus is saying, I come here for life-giving engagement of friends. And in Luke's text, Jesus tells Martha something that I need to be reminded of almost every single day. He says, few things are needed. In fact, only one. You see, Martha was missing the thing that mattered the most, but not Mary. You see, Mary got it. Mary's chosen the one thing that's truly needed, Jesus says, and I'm not going to take it away from her. I'm not going to tell her to go in another room and do something that ultimately doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. And by affirming Mary's choice, Jesus invites Martha to follow her sister's example. And even beyond that, he challenges her to do something that's incredibly countercultural, to take that position that's normally reserved for men. And the thing that I think that we need to understand this morning is that Jesus is calling us to do something countercultural too. He's calling us to just take time out of our day to be with God. I mean, think about it. How many times do you find your heart and your mind just yearning for the antidote to the busyness of life? Well, listen, let me tell you that the antidote isn't in getting everything done at home or at work or at the store. Instead, the antidote's leaving all of that stuff sometimes undone just so we can sit down and have an unrushed conversation with Jesus. But you know what? If we're being honest, it's really easy to miss that, isn't it? It's really easy to miss that's what we're being called to do. You see, we get so wrapped up in all the stuff, all the really good stuff that's happening in our lives that we miss just being, just existing. And it results in a life that lacks real joy, a life that begins to steal our souls. So you see, we need a different way. We need a better way. And you know, if I'm being honest, if I'm being transparent today, I'm one of those people that I live my life in a big, crazy, busy, hurried rush all the time. I'm one of those people that just takes on more and more responsibility because I don't want to turn down any opportunity that comes my way. And the thing is, like, I try to tell people that it's a testament to my, you know, leadership capacity or it's a testament to my work ethic. But I think that deep down inside, we all know that's not true. Instead, I think I take some kind of strange pride in how hard I can work and how busy I can be and somehow still survive. I like getting things done. I like going after new stuff all the time. But what I desperately need more than anything else is to listen to Jesus when he shows up in my life and says, Jesse, you're doing so many things, but only one thing is needed. You see, if I don't listen, my life ends up out of control. It ends up crazy and unhealthy. You see, if I don't listen, I end up with a distracted, dissatisfied, and disoriented soul. And let me remind us all of what's at stake here. You see, whenever I live like this, it's not only bad for me, but it's also bad for my marriage. I mean, who wants to be married to someone that's constantly rushed and stressed? In a life like that, there's no room, no space for a real relationship. But it's also bad for my family because when I live like this, I can't be the kind of dad that I need to be. I mean, if you're a parent, what your children need from you more than anything else in the entire world is you, just to be present in their lives. But if we're being honest, like parent to parent right now, I think a lot of us can admit that like even those times when we are present, we aren't really there. But also, you know, whenever I live my life like this, I'm also not the kind of friend that I need to be, right? I begin to treat my friends like they're just a checkbox on a huge to-do list that makes up my life, and nobody wants to be treated like that. And then finally, when I live my life this way, I'm a less effective leader. As a leader in church, in work, in the community, or in my home, you reproduce who you are. So the question that you need to ask yourselves this morning is, do I want the people that I love the most in my life to live a life absolutely jam-packed with stress? Guys, that is what's at stake here. That's what we're talking about this morning. So what we need to do is we need to commit to living our lives in a simple way, in the simple way that God designed it to be lived, putting first things first. So let's prioritize what God meant to be first, because the thing is, once that is in place, once you have the first thing in place, all those other things begin to fall into place. So let's follow God's example, that rhythm that he's given for us to live our lives. I want to show you just a quick example of how that can work. One way that we can do this is by choosing that the first thing we'll do each and every day is be with God. That just means spend time with God. Right, if you're like me, whenever I wake up in the morning, the first thing that floods into my mind is my to-do list. Right, like all those tasks that I have to get done before I go back to bed that night, that's the first thing I think of. In fact, it's actually really counterintuitive for me to think about slowing down, right, and spending time with God. But maybe that's exactly what we need to do. You see, for a lot of us, we wake up like Martha. But maybe we should be waking up like Mary. You see, if we want to live lives with a satisfied soul, then we have to simplify. And we can do that by each day spending time with God. And let me get real practical for just a second on what that can look like. You see, first thing you got to do is find a place. Maybe it's a comfortable chair in your living room or a spot in your dining room table. And the next thing we can do is pray. That very simply means just talk to God. Right? Just tell him about your life. Ask him about the things that you need. Talk to him about the day that's ahead. And then finally, we can read scripture. You see, there's so much great wisdom inside the Bible. Right? So many things that we can learn that call us out of this busyness cycle that so many of us are stuck in. And just like the story of Mary and Martha, we need its guidance. Now here at Community, we have a daily Bible reading plan that can actually help us begin to start this healthy habit. You can sign up for this plan by downloading our app or going to our website. But whatever you do, first thing we should do each and every day is spend time with God. Now the next thing that we can do is on the first day of each week, every single Sunday, show up here and be with God's people. Now, here's the cool thing, is you've already done this today, so you're already ahead of everybody else that didn't come today. All right, so like give yourself a gold star, a pat on the back, you guys are winning. Because here's the thing, in the same way you need to start each day by being with God, you also need to start each week by being with God and his people. You know, this is an ancient practice that goes back for centuries, but it still holds incredible value for us today. In fact, we need to regularly, consistently celebrate God together as a church family here on Sunday mornings. In fact, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to continue this series, Simplify. We're going to learn that simplified living means so much more than just cleaning out our closets and organizing our calendars. In fact, it actually means that we need to reorient our souls. And I want to challenge each and every one of us to come back for the next 4 weeks and see if something starts to happen in your life. See if something starts to change in your soul. And here's the thing, understand this isn't a promise that you're making to me. Okay, this is a commitment that you're making to yourself to do everything that you can possibly do to simplify your life. And remember, God has called us to be human beings, not human doings. So if your soul starts to feel overwhelmed, exhausted, and dissatisfied, then you need to know there's a better way. You see, there's a simple rhythm that our souls were meant to thrive in. I want to close today by telling you a story that John Ortberg tells in his book called Soul Keeping. He tells a story about moving to Chicago to take a tremendously demanding job during an equally demanding season of his life. He says that he got to the point that he had to figure out something to do, so he calls one of his trusted friends, a wise friend, and he asks for some spiritual direction. Now, he says that as he was on the phone with his friend, he started to talk about his pace of life, and he asked his friend what felt like a pretty simple question. He said, "What do I need to do to be spiritually healthy?" He says that his friend just sat there, didn't say anything. Just this long pause on the phone. And then his friend finally said, "You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." And then another pause. Ortberg says that he finally like had enough and said, "Okay, I've written that down. I'm good. That one's a good one. What else do you have for me?" See, Ortberg was busy. He had a lot of things to do. He wanted to cram as much spiritual wisdom as he could in the smallest amount of time as possible. But he was met with just another pause, just silence. Finally, his friend spoke back up and he said, "There's nothing else, John. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." Reflecting on that conversation, Ortberg says this. He says, "I've concluded that my life and the well-being of the people I serve depends on following that prescription. For hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day." And then listen to this. He says, "Hurry destroys souls." Is something not right in your soul? Is something off? Well, if it is, then it's time to stop. It's time to choose what's better. It's time to choose the one and only thing that really, truly matters. It's time to choose to simplify. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much that even though our lives can be so hectic, so busy, so stressful and hurried, thank you so much that even though those things are true, you want us to slow down. You want us to simplify. Father, I know that for so many of us, this sounds great, but it also sounds impossible. How could we possibly simplify our busy and stressful lives? Father, I pray specifically for each and every one of us in this room right now that you would give us the strength, you would give us the courage to make some simple steps in our lives to simplify us. Help us to spend time with you. Help us to spend time worshiping you with each other on Sundays. Those things might sound simple, but simple doesn't mean easy, and simple doesn't mean useless. Father, help us to embrace those things that you've given us. Help us to simplify our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.